the only one that it's almost like this tangible feeling of, God, are you going to do something? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to say that with faith. Here we go again. God, rearrange words. God, you are going to, hang on, no, I got to build this up. Hang on a second. This is a muscle. You can work this faith muscle out. God, you are going to do something great. According to my faith, let it be done. And so we're kicking off. We kicked off last week. But this week, you actually get to start reading the book. Last week, we just kind of fooled you. We just kicked off, but we didn't actually start. But we did start because we kicked it off. And we kicked it off by saying we're going to have daring faith. Not dare you to have faith, as in blind faith. Blind faith is foolish faith. What it is, I want you to have daring faith. I want you to step out bigger than you ever have before. And can I just tell you, God's going to do this. And I'm not saying that in a passive way. I'm not saying that in a questioning way. I'm saying that because he's already proved it to me way. You know, last week I stood up here and I said, I'm wrestling through what I'm supposed to say and how I'm supposed to say it and what type of faith I'm supposed to step out and do. And actually, if you weren't here last week, here's the exact thing that I said, because we were talking about property. We were talking about maybe $1 million. We were talking about something bigger than what I can imagine. And so here's specifically what I said last week regarding to the faith that I'm looking for when it comes to the church.
As a church, there's a whole lot of questions of, God, is this a you idea or is this a me idea? Right now, we have the building up for sale, but we found out about a couple really good pieces of land that we would like to build on. But we don't think it would be smart, mentally speaking, physically speaking, we don't think it would be smart just to go buy the land if we don't have the plan to move towards it, but at the same time, we're not completely 100% debt-free here. So part of me wants to stand up here and say this. By the time Daring Faith is over, I'm going to have a deed in my hand, either for property that someone bought us or the deed to this property so we have a chance to do something different. But here's why I'm not ready to say that. Now, next week is still coming. We're still praying about it. But here's why. I don't feel that I know that I know.
So last week, I opened up with you to say, I'm wrestling through this. God, what are we supposed to do? So I'm about to tell you a story, and I'm going to tell you a story. And by the way, this is not a deed, because we're starting our daring faith. But I'm going, God, you need to talk to me. And so here's basically, I did everything I could do and decided I'd leave everything else up for God. So I'm going to tell you a story. And you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you may go, man, I get this. If you don't know anything about God, this story could freak you out. Okay? But here's the thing. Here at Navigation Church, we're not deist. Deists believe that God created the earth, spun it, and then walked away. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're following Jesus Christ. We believe he's real. And if he's real, ready for this? He talks to us. Now, God doesn't talk like where you can audibly hear it. And if he does, like, you're 1 in 6 billion. Like, he saves that special trick only every once in a while. And it pretty much doesn't happen ever anymore. So most of the times, there's just like a gut feeling or... Actually, what he does is he uses people. So last week, a friend of mine who's a traveling minister happened to be in town. He was over in St. Louis, and we'd been texting back and forth. And I said, here's what I'll do. I'm just going to come where you're ministering at, and we'll get some time together. So I went over to St. Louis, and he's up on stage. The band and everyone had finished up, and everybody always wants to get pictures with him and autographs and have him sign CDs. And so I'm just kind of hanging out and standing in front of the stage. And while I'm standing there, this pastor and elder, it's a leader at the church, looks down and he goes, hey, who are you? And the first thing I think of, if you're anything like me, is do I owe this guy money, right? It depends. Who are you? No, And so I'm David. He goes, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. And here's what he is, full-time or part-time? Now, you might not know what this means. To a pastor, here's what he's asking. Are you a real pastor or are you a fake pastor? If you're full-time, that means you can actually do pastoring full-time. But there's a lot of people who just have the title pastor that don't do anything. And so he basically wanted to find out, are you a real pastor or are you a guy with a title? And I said, no, I'm a full-time pastor at Navigation Church over in Collinsville. Rumor has it, it's the greatest church to be a part of right now. But that's not a rumor. I said it out loud. I started that, just so you know. I even can trace back who started that rumor. So all of a sudden, I said, Navigation Church. He goes, you got contractors in your church? And for whatever reason, I went into sales mode. Because I'm thinking, this is a, there's probably about 500 people at this church. Maybe they were looking to build something, remodel something. So I go, I got all kinds of contractors. What do you need? You need commercial? I got commercial contractors. You know, you need a neighborhood done? We got people who do neighborhood, build houses. What about remodeling? Two guys, great remodelers. What do you need? What do you got? And he goes, okay. He goes, well, you probably need to pull your contractors together because God's about to give you a piece of property. You talking to me? and I know he had to think he was wrong because I stood there like this. And he said, God's going to give you a piece of property. And I see you building, remodeling. There's going to be stuff on that property. And he's going to give you what you need. There's a generation that needs to come to the Lord. But they don't have a place to go yet because you haven't built it. But when you built it, the generations are going to come to you. And it was so funny. And my Brian, I kept going, pull out your phone and record this. But I also was thinking, I ain't going to forget this. This is happening here. This is happening now. And then he used specific words like surplus. You might go, why does surplus matter? Because January 1st, Pastor Brent was up here praying as we kicked off our year. And he goes, the word I keep hearing is surplus and surplus and surplus. And so he just started. I'm telling you, here's the word. He prophesied to me about, God, what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to wrestle with this? How am I supposed to accomplish this? And here's what I want, why I want to start today's sermon by telling you this. This wasn't for David, the senior pastor. This was for the house. This was for the church. This was for the community known as Navigation Church. And God isn't interested in us just having a new building. God was really, do you mind if I just preach at you with you for just a minute here? God was really interested, before we started today's lesson to get some head knowledge, God was interested in standing on a rooftop. God was interested in standing on top of a mountain and scream really loud, I want you to have daring faith. Because here's the reality, I'm going to stand up here now and say this, I believe that God's going to give us property. And guess what? You're going to know if I'm right or wrong. You may say, oh, someone prophesied. Someone gave you knew that you knew. Listen, I have to step out. And I need you to step out. And here's why. I don't think God is looking for someone to casually like him. I think he's searching the land right now, saying, is there a people who will have daring faith because there's a nation that needs to be saved? There's lives that need to be transformed. There's regions that need to have influence in it, different than the influence that it's currently having in a post-Christian America. And all he's wondering is, can someone have an abundant amount of faith that he will do what he set out to do? And guess what? He's not going to do it through a giraffe. He's not doing it through a podium. He does it through people. And if there isn't a people, they'll say, use me. He will keep wandering the land going, is there anybody that had trusted assurance that when I say, I wish that no one would perish, I'm looking for someone to tell them about life. And here's the thing. We've been putting all the pieces in place to do this for a while. You know, we've had a team working on how do we sell this place. We've had a team working on where do we go and what do we build. There's a church that gave us a link to their website that had, was it 15 different blueprints on it that they would give us for free. We've had three accountants put together a three-year financial projections for what we're supposed to do at the church and what can we afford and how can we do it. We put all the pieces in place and I'm pretty sure God could care less about our pieces. Because our pieces wasn't his pieces. I'm going to tell you a story about our singles ministry. And you could go, I didn't know we had a singles ministry. We didn't. It crashed and burned. Right? I'm looking at Cody and Gayla. For those who don't know them, they're the directors over our used-to-be singles ministry. And they worked hard. They did everything that the Voyage did. They did everything that the Reach Student Ministry did. They did everything that the counseling, they did everything that PATH, they did everything that every other group did. Every other group succeeded, not theirs. People weren't coming. And they were getting so frustrated, and they're going, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? And we finally said, let's stop doing it. Because every once in a while, if God ain't touching it, stop playing with it. Right. There's a tweet for you. Don't tweet that. Actually. I heard what I said. I'm looking at the cameraman because I got to walk a little bit this morning. You can zoom out, give me a new, staying between these two speakers ain't working this morning. So they were just getting frustrated because guess what? We were trying to do something for the singles, what the singles didn't want done for themselves. So we were trying, and Cody and Gayla kept coming to the leadership meetings, and Cody and Gayla kept going, what do you want us to do, and how do we want to do this, and should we stop? Should we step down? Like, is there a spot here? And I said, well, you know, every good church has a men's group and a women's group, and we probably need that. Do you guys want to do that? And they're like, okay. Am I lying? I mean, you guys are coming. I mean, they're like, if the pastor asks us, but just to be very clear, we're not really volunteering for this. Like, there's this weird tension that was happening. And here's what they decided. They decided, okay, if this is what needs to be done, this is what we'll do, because what we want to do isn't being done. So all of a sudden, they start the men's thing. And these men, Cody comes one day and he goes, I get it. The men are on fire. A guy named John goes and gets his life turned around. All of a sudden, these dads, these fathers start showing up, and their heart is bleeding for these young men that don't have anyone to turn to. Because guess what? You ready for this? Men struggle with pornography. Ready for this? Men struggle being a man supplying for their house. Men struggle with anger. Men struggle, men struggle, men struggle. But guess what? Every man tells every other man, dude, suck it up. Be a man. And every once in a while, a man wants to sit in a room and go, you know what? I'm a bad dad. I don't know any different. My dad was bad. I'm bad, but I don't want my kids to be bad. What do I do? And there's another father over there went, you want to know a secret? So was I. But here's what clicked. Here's what turned on. So next thing you know, the men are gathering. And I mean, we've had 40, 50 men coming to these Saturday morning breakfasts. And all of a sudden, there's fire happening. And then the women start this book study. And the testimonies coming out of the women's meeting. I got men, pick it up. The women are catching up. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. And this morning, I was at the house. I was showering, if anybody cares. I was shaving and showering. And all of a sudden, I realized, God, of course, the men had to catch fire. Because if there's a generation, just got prophesied this last Sunday, if there's a generation of young people coming to the house, they have to come to a house where there's fathers. So why did you walk and you fail? It's because someone's coming behind you that's currently failing and they need to know how to walk. Why are we figuring out how to do next steps and connecting and all these different things? This guy went on to say, I see thousands of people at your church, so many that you're going to be in multiple sites. I wasn't going to share that today, but you know what? I got daring faith today. That God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so, men, why did the single things not work? Because that wasn't what was needed to be in place for God to do what God wanted to do. We always come to God and we say, why aren't you moving on my timetable? And God goes, because your timetable isn't my plan. So, listen, do you want me to move on your timetable and you guys feel effective? Or do you want to go according to my plan and see how effective you can be? And so I have faith. Guys, you got to hear this today. This isn't about David Amston. This isn't about senior pastor of a church. This isn't about just never. This is about us. Right. This is about you. You are able to step into the special grace that's on the house. Can I preach a little bit this morning? I asked earlier and I feel like I should ask again because you have to know this. There's a special grace on the house in your life. I believe there's those of you with debt. And you want to be out of debt, God is going to give you daring faith for that debt to be gone. Amen. There's some of you that have had sicknesses, that you were in a car accident years ago, and you've had residual effects. I believe God's going to give you daring faith for healing. I think some of you have new businesses you're supposed to start, opportunities you're supposed to go for. There's young people that you've been praying for, that you've had a dose of faith this morning to say, if Pastor said there's a generation coming, that includes my son, that includes my daughter, that includes my nephew, that includes my niece. I want to be a daughter, where's a mom? I want to be a son, where's a father? There's enough faith here for you to grab what you need in order for you to step out into the opportunity that God has for you. Guys, there's faith to move mountains. Well, that sounds like a lot of faith. Actually, to move a mountain, you need a mustard seed. That's God's economy. It don't make sense. I got. You know what doesn't make sense? For a guy to stand on stage and say, I think someone's going to give us property. Well, who? I don't know. When? Oh, I definitely don't know that. Where's it going to be? A good spot. Kind of level, maybe. Might have hills. We may be moving dirt. I don't know. Probably will. Maybe won't be. Could we? So what am I supposed to do now? Am I supposed to go look? Am I supposed to go look? Am I supposed to go ask? Am I supposed to seek? Am I supposed to knock? Do I sit in my office and go, okay, God, they'll find my number? Is it someone in this church that you're going to go buy it for the church? Or is it someone we don't even know? Here's the thing I'm so proud to tell you. I don't know. I don't care. But what I won't do is I won't let go of the promises that God has given us. Given us. We're meant to have influence in this area. You're meant to have influence in your life. You're meant to live to the fullest potential that God created you for. And you can't do it passively living a faith life, but you do it because you have a daring faith that goes, God, today, you're going to bring today, I'm not making a lunch plan so I can find someone, meet someone, and have lunch with them in a way that I've never thought about it before. I don't know what it all looks like, but here's what I know. All we can do is what we can do. And we leave everything up to God. So this morning, I'm just going to ask one last time. How many are ready after God has screamed at us that he wants to do something? After God, I went to see a buddy. I didn't go seeking God. But God was so interested in telling us something. He let this buddy come through town so I could be standing in the space that I was, because God is more interested in our position and our placement than he is what we think our time table should be. So I have one question for you. Who's ready to have daring faith? Who's ready to write down an obstacle that you're ready to walk over? Who's ready to write down an opportunity that you need to step towards? Who's ready to write down a name for an opening so that you can present the gospel to them? Who's ready to have that type of daring faith? I think we are. I think it's what the church is supposed to do. I might have told this story once. I'm going to tell it because I looked at Mark, and Mark, I had the thought. So for those who don't know, that's Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Okay. Don't need a joke right there, but there were two that showed up. So Mark, when it comes to spiritual campaigns, he's been the one over the last few years that have talked with me about it. And we've walked through them. So we bought two this year. One was called Transformed. And man, I was excited about it. I did the 40 days by myself. He was doing Daring Faith. And I got done with this Transformed Life. And I'm going, this is it. This is what we got to be doing this next year. So then we went to switch our campaigns, and he do that one, I do the Daring Faith, and he goes, this Daring Faith said. And I went, well, you're not a man of God like I am. I already heard from God, right? Forget about it. And I started on day one, and I went, now this is the one we're going to be doing. And you go, well, what's the big deal about that? That was 6-7 months ago. I thought I had a plan in place, but God had a purpose. And I'd rather be in God's purpose every single time, because my plans, I fail, I hurt people, I wound myself, my best plans. But the moment we step into the purposes of God, so God, we're going to Now start the sermon. And we just say to you, we want to have daring faith, Lord. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. When we're unfaithful, you're faithful. When we think we have an idea, God, you come through and say, let me make it a God-sized plan. And I believe that you have ordained, positioned, placed this church, this community, this tribe in this specific place, in this specific hour for a specific reason, and that is this: you are ready to stretch our faith to unimaginable lengths. So I pray for people, if you're an individual who you've been wounded through the years, I pray that your faith is healed. For those who have questioned God and what his plans and his purposes are, God, I pray right now that there's a renewed understanding of your faithfulness. Those of you that are here today that you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, and everything I just said sounded like the ramblings of a madman, I want you to know that there is a God who still speaks, and we want to listen, and you can too today. And Lord, give us wisdom to know when it's you and when it's us, when it's the Holy Spirit speaking or when it's a soul man screaming, when it's you positioning us for something versus us protecting ourselves. God, give us wisdom in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So how do you do daring faith? As mentioned earlier by Aaron, if you have a book, open it up to page 11, 12. When you get to 11, turn one more page. Because here's the thing, how do we do what it is that we're talking about? How do we have daring faith? What are some practical steps that we can take in our own lives? And so in order to do this, what I want to do is I want to read Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 33. We're going to read this entire passage. Passage kind of speaks for itself. Jesus is out in a wide open area. The local McDonald's was closed. The local Shop and Save was closed. There was no market available for these people to go to. And everybody was hungry. And Jesus decided to do something. So we're going to read this and we're going to pick apart six specific areas when it comes to how do you live by faith. And it says this: when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, and his disciples came to him being Jesus, said, "Hey Jesus, this is a remote place and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." So Jesus went, "No, here's what I think. I think you should give them something to eat." 5,000 people, not counting men and women. How many have that fridge at home? He goes, "No, I think you should give them something to eat." And they said back to Jesus, they go, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give them that to eat?" Like, I'm trying to process in my human mind the supernatural thing that you want to do, but whatever supernatural thing you're wanting to do, my human brain isn't putting it on the spreadsheet correctly. Like, how do I break this down? And he said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." They found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, for those who are familiar with the story, you find out that a little boy had a Lunchable. Like, mom packed him a lunch. And Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups in the green grass. So they sat down in groups in hundreds and fifties. He said, "Take the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes. He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples. They distributed to the people. And he also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate, all 5,000, not counting men and women, or women and children. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls surplus of broken pieces and bread and fish. And the number of the men who ate were about 5,000. So this is a miracle that occurred. Jesus took this bread and this loaf and he broke it and he began to feed everybody. So the first thing you have to do in your faith is believing when I don't see it. So if you have your book there, I believe we have some notes on the back of the bulletin. If you don't have a book, you can write it back there. Faith is believing even when I don't see it. So Jesus looked out this crowd and he went, "Oh, I believe that this can happen even though I don't have it yet." Faith comes by hearing. And so for me, guess what? I believe that we have property already. I believe it. I don't see it. It's not in front of me. I don't have my fingers on it yet. But here's the thing. When Jesus spoke, you had to believe what it was that you were supposed to be moving towards. And you can't figure out all the pieces behind it. Here's the best scripture I'm just now going to make up. Stop trying to help God with his plans. You know what the most annoying prayer meeting that I ever go to? Yeah, you're allowed to say that as a pastor. It's this one. The prayer meeting that all the prayers are people telling God good ideas on how to solve their problem. Have you ever been to one of that? Oh, Lord, all it takes is one rich businessman to walk in here and to give us $1 million. Actually, to be very clear, $1 million isn't enough for what we want to do now. I'll go with $1 billion. I don't care. I mean, commas are just commas to God, right? So we pray these ideas. God, we just need to go see the right doctor and the right specialist, and the right specialist and the right doctor can heal us. While the meantime, the physician of the universe is sitting there with a scalpel going, okay, I was going to take care of that, but yeah, thanks for giving me a good idea on how you should pray. Hey, here's what we should pray. God, we're not going to procrastinate. We're not going to blame others. We're not going to worry. We're going to do this. As in heaven, so on earth. In your timetable, where do I need to position for you to place this here? And we're going to trust you. Because God, I believe without seeing it. And by the way, point number two, faith is obeying when we don't understand it. Because there's a lot you're not going to understand. Now, here's the thing. The Bible is simple, but it's not simplistic. Okay? It's meant for us to know what's in it, and it's meant for us to know God more. But then there's steps that you're going to do in order to change you, mold you, and shape you that you're not going to understand. Tomorrow, I start, there's a local CrossFit gym. And I mean, I've been delaying big time on connecting it. But tomorrow, 4 o'clock, I'm going to be there. And I was reading some of the things they have you do. It makes no sense to me. It's like I'm going to be playing in scaffolding. I don't know. Things are just moving. It's clinking. Like, what's happening here? But here's what I've learned. CrossFit isn't weightlifting. CrossFit isn't just cardio. CrossFit, it's all these different things. So it's a world that I don't know. So I'm either going to trust the expert of those worlds to tell me how to do it, or I'm going to go in there assuming I know best where they're an expert at. So now let's take this to God. Hey, God, I know I'm limited. I don't have an eternal perspective. I haven't been around for 6,000 years orchestrating the humanity of life. I didn't prophesy 3,200 years before Jesus came, but made sure even getting Rahab, the harlot, in the lineage of Christ in order to bring Jesus about. If you didn't follow that, that's all right. That you didn't have to on that one. But somehow in a little town of Bethlehem, you had your purpose come about, but I'm pretty sure I know what you need to do for me when it comes to this one job. No, I'm going to obey even when I don't understand it, because here's the thing. In the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are 4 books in the Bible written by, ready for this? Matthew, Mark. Anybody want to help me here? Luke and John. Okay, so these 4 guys who hung out with Jesus all wrote a book about Jesus. And sometimes in their books, they tell the same story, just a different perspective, their perspective. And John tells this very specific story, but listen to this in John 6, 5 through 6. When Jesus looked up and saw this great crowd coming towards him, he looked at one of the disciples, Philip, and he said, "Where shall we buy food for these people to eat?" And Philip goes, and then the next scripture says this, Jesus asked this only to test him. He already had in mind what he was going to do. So, in this, like, how are we going to feed all these people? Jesus starts asking questions, but he wasn't asking questions because he needed to have self-discovery. He asked questions so that we could discover something. So when we put our trust in him, here's what we have to trust. He knows what he's doing. And faith is obeying even when we don't understand it. The next thing, faith is giving even when we don't have it. So I'm going to be a pessimist. Which, by the way, I think those are the people that have all the information. When you look at the crowd, I thought that would land on a few people. So You have a crowd of 5,000 plus women and children. I guarantee right now I could go to my wife's bag and I'm going to find a minimum of goldfish. Moms, there's a chance there's going to be turkey sticks, half a slab of roast beef. Like, you don't know what moms pack, right? Because you're going out. You're telling me in this whole crowd, the only person that had food was one boy? Or did you have a bunch of adults go, well, I can't give that away. I have just enough for me. I think it's interesting they point out it's a boy. Because here's what, like right now, you go to my baby Silas. Baby Silas, he's four now. And you go, hey, you know, can daddy split that Crudus cupcake with you? Because I've only had four, you know, so. Numbers don't matter. Stop judging. I'm starting the workout tomorrow. So, but and when I say tomorrow, it'll probably be next Monday. I'm not stepping out in that faith. Just, I'm judging myself. So here's what I can guarantee you. My little baby Silas would hold up his cupcake and give it away. He just does. He's actually a lover and a fighter. So if he doesn't want to give it to you, he's probably going to shiv you. But other than that, like he would. But yet, when you go to Judah, who's just twice that old, hey, buddy, can I have a couple? I mean, that would be icing coming out the nose. I mean, he's going to get that in. He's going to ingest it before you can take it. And I'm just wondering if there was a bunch of adults to say, man, this guy's a good teacher, but I can't trust him with my stuff. And then all of a sudden, a little boy came and said, hey, can we have this? The Lord has a need, and he wants to partner with you to solve it. And in order to do that, he needs to know what you're willing to put in to solve the problem. And I know everyone's sitting here going, is he talking about tithing? No, no, no. I'm talking about giving. Giving of what? What's in need? Is it your time? Is it a talent? Is it a business? Is it cash? There it is. They're talking about money. No, no, no. Don't minimize this. God can use anything. Do you have an hour on a Saturday morning when it's your day off to serve someone? Not about money. It's about someone's in need. Are you willing to give? Faith is giving, though, when you don't have it. I don't have enough for me, but God, I'm going to give this to you. And so Jesus takes this and he starts praying over it. And then here's a life lesson that we need to learn. And I, next point, the life lesson will be in just a minute. First thing I'm going to tell you this, faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. So, okay, so you're the disciples. Put yourself in this, right? You're sitting here. Jesus takes five loaves and he breaks them. So now we went from 5 to 10. Like he doubled it. And then he took fish. Not really sure what he did with this. Like, did he gut them? Were they gutted already? Had it been dried out? You know, so was it more like a sardine type thing? But either way, he divided that. So we went from 5 and 4 to 10, or 5 and 2 to 10 and 4. And then he hands the basket to him. My question is, by the time he broke it and threw it in there and handed him the basket, did he hand him a full basket? So, you know, man, where did all this come from? Or did he hand him a basket that had 5? And he goes, go pass it out to everyone. And are they thinking, I'll be right back. Like, this isn't going to take too long. So when did the multiplication start occurring? I'll tell you what I believe. And when I say I believe it, I'm pretty sure this is how it has to happen. And only happen when they trusted his word. So when did the multiplication start happening? If it happened, they look down and there's plenty in there. That's not faith. That's practical.
That's right.
But if they said, okay, I'll be right back. Because when I finish that row, I'm done. And as they're circling the back row, they're going, Jesus. Like, Jesus. Jesus! No, it doesn't end. It just keeps playing. I reach in there and there's more there. And I look down. It wasn't there. There, but it's there. Oh, my God. And you're coming out. And this middle section's going, we ain't seen no food. I don't know what that guy's doing. He comes around the corner. No, no, no. I'm pretty sure if I gave you a basket, and then I'm thinking someone else went, well, can I have that basket for a little bit? I take, oh, Jesus. Look at it. It doesn't end. It just keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. I'm thinking the miracle occurred when we chose to persist in his word. And the word was spoken. But the miracle occurred when we put our hands to what he said. And even when it doesn't look like it. So ready for this? I have my own prophetic word. Ready for this? We're going to be at week 6 of this, and I'm not going to have property yet. And I'm going to have to figure out, do I come and say, well, God hasn't done something? Or how do I kind of backtrack this testimony? Or maybe no one will watch this video. Like, we'll just delete it off YouTube, right? Like, we appreciate you watching online, but this will be the only time you're going to be able to see it because I got to figure out how to, or am I going to stand up here on day 39 as passionate as I did on day 1? Yeah. When does persisting need to take place? And by the way, persisting, I tell this quick story. There was an individual a while back, long time ago, who was hobbling around. The knee, her knee was just overly swollen. And I said, hey, what's the doctor? I haven't been to a doctor. I'm believing in faith that God's going to heal me. I go, just quick question. Is this a faith statement you've decided, or was this a faith statement you felt like God gave you? Like, which way are you coming? Like, you're persisting here, but it almost, you jump back. It's like persisting with the singles. At some point you go, maybe God isn't there right now, so we need to look somewhere else. Maybe God isn't about healing my knee. And so went to the doctor, found out she needed a complete knee replacement. The knee was replaced, and she was back up and running in 3-4 months. So a miracle occurred. It just wasn't where it was supposed to be. So when you're persisting, it may be nice to have a community around you knowing who, what is you and what is God. Because I'm telling you, before I shared that this morning, actually, I got in the car, wife got the first phone call. I got in the car, I called Pastor Brent because Aaron always answers. Pastor Brent, it's a 50-50 shot. But then I thought if I got him, then I could do a conference call, get Aaron on. Pastor Brent didn't. So I got a hold of Aaron, then I hold it, tried to call Heather. Heather didn't answer. There's a shocker. And so now... Can I get an amen, or do you not have the, thank you, thank you. I better send a smoke signal to get her. Like, it just, yeah, iPhone, new phone, no phone, it doesn't matter. So I feel like I need to introduce like 20 people during this sermon. Like, some of you don't know, but they're all the lead pastoral staff. And then we got the word out to the directors, and here's what it ended with every time. If you have concerns, comments, or questions, let me know. Because it would be foolish for everyone to hear about this for the first time today, because what happens if the rest of the team goes, man, something wasn't right about that, but it was interesting. Every time I shared it with, it was, that's it. That's our statement. That's what we can go for. So you persist when you have wisdom around you. And that's the healthiest thing. And then here's the other thing. You pray ahead of time. Faith is thanking God before you receive it. I love this quote. If you have the book, you'll read this. If you wait until after a prayer has been answered to thank God, that's gratitude, right? Not faith. Right. Great line. Great line. It is. It's saying thank you versus saying it will be done. Big difference. It takes no faith for someone to hand me $1,000 and me go, I believe I'm going to get $1,000. No. At this point, I'm a statistician, right? At this point, I'm Captain Obvious. I got $1,000. Praise God. I'm grateful for that. It took no faith. Faith is ahead of time standing up and going, listen, everyone's going to be fed. How? 10 and 4. That's faith. Faith is standing up ahead of time going, I believe you can get the miracle no matter what the doctor said. I believe you can get the house no matter what the banker's saying. I believe you can get the job no matter what your degree or lack of degree says. I believe, I believe, I believe, and I know that I know that I know. And by the way, God, thank you for giving me exactly what I need in this place. I'll be honest with you, I really think I need this, but God, I trust you to give me exactly what you want me to have. And you worship God on the front side about it. It's got to be faith, and if it comes into facts, if not, faith is thanking God that the answer is already on its way even before you see it. It's a great little line. So one of the things you might notice, there's extra scriptures in your book, extra scriptures in your outline that I'm not covering. Go back and read them. See how they apply. A lot of them is going to be from Hebrews, our faith passage, or our faith chapter in the Bible. So go back and read it and apply it to the points. But me, I got to preach it my way, not Rick Warren's way. So here's the final one. Faith is trusting God even if I don't get it. You guys ready for this? Garth Brooks, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Now, I actually remember one time that to our local food pantry, someone wanted to give us property. And it was like 3-4 parcels, and we could build a little something on it, and we took some a contractor out with us. And the contractor said this: do not take this property. You'll never be able to build on it. This guy's stuck with it, and he's hoping to get a tax write-off and it off his books. He goes, it's horrible. Don't take it. And you're sitting there going, you didn't take property. No, we didn't take a headache. There's sometimes that God, ready for this, loves you so much, he wants to avoid you taking on a headache. So even when you don't get it, still trust. And by the way, the whole last week of this campaign, we're gonna dive into this. What happens when your promise didn't come and you're still waiting on it? How do you wait right? How do you wait correctly? In the book, it says God is interested in your character more than your comfort, making you holy rather than happy. And all those points are absolutely true. And so here's the thing. On the back side of the journey that these disciples walk through, your faith is strengthened, so when you hit it again, you do it better the next time. That's what happens with faith. You build that faith muscle, and then when you hit a situation, you'll find that you have faith walking into it versus finding faith through it. So if you go on to read through Mark, turn just a couple pages in your book or in your Bible, and you'll see that there's another time where Jesus needs to feed 4,000. And I wanted to read it. What were the disciples' response on this? And here's what happened. Jesus goes, hey, let's feed them. And what they did was, how do you want to do that? And you go, well, isn't that what they asked the first time? No, the first time they said, we can't do that. Here's what that takes. We don't have that type of resources. We don't have that around us. The next time through it, here's where their faith was. Obviously, Jesus, you can do this. So how do you want to do it this time? And that's where growing faith takes us to. Growing faith isn't, God, I doubt you're going to do this. Can you do this? Will you do this? It's stepping up going, how you plan on doing it this time? Oh, you're going to do the same way as last time. We're good. And I probably won't be. Just keep going. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And he set people free. He's going to do it again. He saved the lost soul. He's going to do it again. He's provided for the church for centuries and millennials. He will do it again. And in this house, in this church, I believe he will do it for all of us. So if you got a sticker, I'm going to do two very practical things. And then, by the way, Pastor Brent's going to come up. And I know when we go to receive the offering, sometimes you check out. I'm going to ask you to stay engaged today. And here's why. We're going to start talking about digital evangelism. We're going to talk about communicating in a whole different way in the generation and life that we're doing. We're talking about easier ways for you to connect with us, but then exciting, even better ways to get the message of the gospel out. So please, it is going to be a time of offering, but there's just going to be great information you're going to want to know about. And so I'm going to let him do that. Give me 3 minutes. When I say three, that's five. Okay, here we go. The first thing I'm going to say is, what is an obstacle that you need to overcome? Write it down. Write it down. Here's why. When you write it down, you're going to be able to look back and go, he did it. Like, I can't, what did I say, or how did I say it, or how did I work? Write it down. Have the faith that you can overcome that obstacle. If it's a sickness, if it's lust, if it's shame, if it's a sin issue, write it down. Ready? Be proud to write it down. Because you're going to give God the glory on the front side of it. God, you're going to take care of this. What opportunity do you need to step towards? If it's serving in the church, if it's a new job, if it's starting a business, if it's getting engaged, asking the girl out, asking the boy out, whatever it might be, whatever that opportunity that you need to step towards, what is it? Write it down. I know. And then here's the big one. I promise you're going to get so sick of hearing this in 2017. But if everyone does it, we'll probably do it in 18 too. So here it is. What's your opening? Who's the person that you know that you should share the gospel of Jesus Christ with? What do you mean the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's say it this way. Who can you tell your story to? Here's where I was. Here's where I am. How are you? And write it down. Write it down. And by the way, we're going to give you practical steps on how to engage them in a conversation. What do you say when you talk to them? All those type of things. But write it down because we want to be able to look back to see what God did. And here's a faith thing that I believe. I believe at Easter this year, we're going to baptize twice as many people as we did all of last year. We're believing for 40 baptisms this coming Easter Sunday morning. And what is baptism? Baptism is where you externally tell the world what internally took place. What do you mean internally took place? I gave my life to Jesus. 12 years ago, I gave my life to my wife. That makes sense, right? Like you got married, you partner up. This became a covenant. The two became one. God wants to partner up with you. He was so interested in doing, and he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. He hung there, naked, beaten, and ashamed, without shame, though, because he was happy for the sake. I mean, he looked past the cross because he saw you sitting 2,000 years later at Navigation Church, hearing a pastor tell you this. Jesus Christ wants to have an intimate relationship with you. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now, but I want you to feel comfortable to do that. So to do that, could everyone do me a favor? Could you bow your heads and close your eyes? And then that way, no one's looking at you. It's just me and you. I'm talking to you. I need to tell you something. And it's simply this. Jesus is interested in having a relationship with you. If you want to start your faith journey today by believing that Jesus died for you, I'm going to have you do one simple act, and that's just stick your hand up in the air so that I can see you. Thank you. There's already one right there. There's two. There's three. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's four. This is the time where you say, God, I'm going to turn my life over to you, and I'm going to live in a way that I never have before. And there's five. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good and you are so faithful. So with so many hands, can we all say this prayer together? Dear Jesus, today I give my life to you. I repent of my sins and I turn towards you. I turn towards life and I turn towards forgiveness. I am sorry, Jesus, for how I've offended you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your servant. God, I thank you for today for the confessions of faith that we saw. Hands never seen before, faces I don't recognize, but God, you knew them. As we were preparing for this day, God, you knew that this would be the service they would be at, and I have faith to believe that they have connected with you. And so, God, I don't know how to end it other than just saying thank you. Thank you for the process you're taking us on. Thank you for the places that you've already prepared for us to be standing here today. And thank you for the people that are present turning their life over to you. Today, God, we choose to have daring faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Can we do